are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock back here on another winning edition, rapid react from week two over the Cincinnati Bengals on the road in Cincinnati. 49ers winning big, final score 41-17. San Francisco now 2-0 to start the season. Two road games down and the 49ers winning both, which is quite the accomplishment. It's been since 2012 that the 49ers have won the first two games to start a season. Obviously, the 49ers went to the Super Bowl that year, did not win, but it's been since 1989 that the 49ers won their first two games of the season on the road. The 49ers again went to the Super Bowl that year and won. So that is a big deal to start 2-0 on the road in the NFL, and the 49ers looking really good. The best game the 49ers have played in the Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch era Sunday. So we will break it all down for you right here on this episode of Locked On 49ers. You can subscribe to this podcast everywhere that you find podcasts. Your favorite app will have this show and all of the programs on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On NFL, where Matt Williamson, the former NFL scout, and I will be breaking down all of the week's games on today's show and taking you around the league every day. That's what we do here on the network, bringing you football content daily. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. We will be dipping into that mailbag tomorrow. So hit me up on Twitter at BD Peacock to get involved there. You can email the show lockedon49ers@gmail.com. Where to begin in this game? I think we have to start up front because, as we know, of course, it all starts up front with the 49ers offensive line and being able to do really whatever they wanted offensively. And the offensive line opening up big holes. Matt Breida, 12 carries for 121 yards. He did not get into the end zone, but just gouging. It was just amazing. Just first down run after first down run. Raheem Mostert getting involved. He was 6.4 yards per carry. 13 carries, actually had one more carry than Matt Breida for 83 yards, but Breida going over 10 yards per carry, 10.1 average on his 12 runs. They were just gouging the Cincinnati Bengals play after play, first down after first down on the ground. When you can do that, you almost don't have to do anything else, but the 49ers did decide to do some other things, and Kyle Shanahan, I think, having a lot of fun along the way doing it a little bit looser as a play caller, I think, was able to have some long drives, was able to have fun with play action, some interesting wrinkles called by Kyle Shanahan, and we'll get into all of those things a little bit more. But such a fun game to watch because everything was working for the 49ers. Leading receiver in this game, Debo Samuel, he had 5 catches for 87 yards, including his first career NFL touchdown. But I think the first play where you realized, okay, something's working today, that was the Marquise Goodwin touchdown. And again, Kyle Shanahan's scheming. There was this one, they were just all around the same length, multiple plays that were in that between 30 and 40 yard range. There was a 36 yarder from George Kittle, a 39 yard reception for Raheem Mostert, that 38 yard touchdown to Marquise Goodwin. Debo Samuel had a 39 yarder. On the ground, it was Matt Breida who had a 34 yard run as the long. So 30 plus yard gains. I can't remember a game when they had 5, 6, 30 plus yard gains. It was crazy. So they could basically do anything they wanted on the offensive side of the ball. And defensively, the 49ers did their thing. And it was just a last-minute touchdown there to make it 17 points for the Bengals. But they were held to 10 points. Those were all first-half points. And it looked like they were just going to hold them scoreless in the second half. And the Bengals just could do nothing to come back and win that game. And John Ross was able to have that long touchdown catch and run to make it 41-17, which was the final score for the 49ers over the Bengals in week two. There was some bad in this game, and I guess we should get this out of the way. And of course, I'm going to be giving out some game balls at the end of this show as well, and talking about some of the key plays I saw in this game, some of the key players, and good and bad, mostly good for the 49ers in this one. But another really bad interception from Jimmy Garoppolo. And he had every opportunity in this game to play well, and he did play well overall. He completed 17 of 25 passes, three touchdowns, but he did have the one ugly interception, 131.2 rating, which is a very good quarterback rating as well for Jimmy Garoppolo. But the one interception, I think I'll take away as far as the passing game goes, that's the thing I'll remember in this game because it was so bad. And we're seeing it week after week. We saw it in the preseason, he had some bad interceptions. We saw last week the pick six where he was trying to throw to Tevin Coleman on the left sideline, and it was a ball that should have never been thrown. And again in this game, it was a bad interception by Jimmy Garoppolo, a ball that should have never been thrown. There were three or four defenders in the area. Richie James was nearby coming across the field, but I don't think he was the one that was targeted on that play. I think it was a Marquise Goodwin, Jimmy Garoppolo miscommunication, or maybe an option route for Goodwin. Maybe he expected Goodwin to go deep. Goodwin broke his route off short, probably because he saw triple coverage over the top and thought, yeah, this play needs to go shorter. If there was an option on that play, I don't know. I'm going to go back and look at it again. I've just seen the game live, but Garoppolo cannot throw that ball. You cannot throw that pass if you're Jimmy Garoppolo. Give the ball away. It was triple coverage out there, and he's doing this once per game, and it has to stop. But the good news here is, and we've seen this 2 weeks in a row now, the defense bailed him out. This time, the Bengals got the ball back with a short field. They were able to stop them, and then the Bengals even missed the field goal, so there was 0 points. It wasn't a pick six, which is good. So better than last week's pick six, I guess, for Garoppolo, but still another bad interception, and it's something that I'm sure Kyle Shanahan doesn't like to see. But aside from that throw, Jimmy Garoppolo played very well. Kyle Shanahan called a hell of a game, and the 49ers were able to do pretty much whatever they wanted on the offensive side of the ball. Okay, let's just go through the game notes here. Quarters 1-4, and then we'll give away game balls in segment number 3. This podcast brought to you in part by Peloton. Can't find a workout that keeps you engaged? Peloton is an immersive cardio experience with real-time features that will always keep you coming back. Get $100 off accessories when you purchase the Peloton bike and get a great cardio workout at home. Go to onepeloton.com and use promo code LOCKED to get started.
Next time you're planning a night out, or maybe you want to go see a concert, go see a show, go see the 49ers. Think of Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. With Vivid Seats, listeners can watch their favorite teams and artists, bands perform in person, earning credit back on all purchases made through the Vivid Seats app via the Vivid Seats Rewards Loyalty Program. They offer great prices and an easy purchasing experience, as well as in-app loyalty program. Those reward statuses range from MVP to Hall of Fame caliber. Customers can earn from 10% up to 16% credit on all of their purchases through the app. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards Loyalty Program and enjoy credits on all their purchases. All Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed by a 100% guarantee, so no worries about running into scalpers and getting some bunk tickets. And you might want to go hit Vivid Seats now, because those 49ers tickets, if they keep winning like they did in week one, those tickets are going to get a little bit hotter. Enter promo code KICKOFF at checkout to receive a discount of up to $100 at Vivid Seats.
Right out of the gate, the 49ers defense came to play, stuffed the Bengals on that opening drive, three and out. Bosa in on third downs early. He was in on some second and longs in that game, but definitely on a snap count, which I think was the smart move. Armstead got the start at right defensive end. But really the takeaway in the first quarter that I noticed right out of the gate was there's lots of good O-coordinating going on, both Shanahan and Zach Taylor for the Bengals. Only one incompletion, I think, in the first quarter between both quarterbacks, Jimmy Garoppolo and Andy Dalton combined. Shanahan dialing up some play action to move the chains. There was, you know, he does this thing. He loves getting Kyle Juszczyk out in the flats, and I think that's almost undefeated when he runs a little play action and has Kyle Juszczyk slip out there for that third and three. I mean, they get that almost every time, and I love seeing that. Obviously, it's not a big play, but moving the chains is what the 49ers were able to do in this game. Just extended long drives. Then it comes back to a slow-developing, extremely effective play-action pass on that first drive for the 49ers. Marquise Goodwin getting loose, hiding in the trash, and then emerging uncovered, wide open, 38-yard touchdown, put the 49ers up 7-0 early in that game, and they were in the driver's seat. But the Cincinnati Bengals didn't wither early. Their second drive, they came out, an out-and-up really fooled Akella Witherspoon and the 49ers defense, Tyler Boyd, a 47-yarder down the left sideline. And so, like I was saying, that coordinating early, just some nice wrinkles, some nice plays drawn up by both head coaches. There's a similar play last week, actually, versus Tampa for the 49ers defense. And Zach Taylor might have seen something on that tape from week one. Witherspoon tried to pass off the outside receiver in Tampa on a go route and jump the underneath route from the slot guy that was coming on an out route. Moore did not pick up the outside wide receiver on that play, and it was wide open down the left sideline, but the pass rush got to Winston, so in the end, it didn't matter. This week, it was Witherspoon that carried the deep route, and the safety also stayed over the top, and the underneath route was wide open. And even though it was a deep route, both players were deep, and this time it was Tarvarius Moore that noticed it, but it was too late then. So neither guy stayed over the top last week. Both of them did this week. So that's still something they've got to figure out, and it's one area that teams can attack in this cover three defense, and I think you probably will see them continue trying to do that and probably attack the left side there, because the veteran guys on the other side in Jaquaski Tart and Richard Sherman are obviously going to be a little bit more difficult to try to pull something like that on, but they got to clean that up, deciding who's going to take what route when the outside guy goes deep and the inside guy comes underneath or maybe does an out and up like they did on Sunday. But little miscommunications there. Not as big of busts as we saw in years past for the 49ers on defense, but still something they definitely have to figure out. And I'm sure something will be in meetings this week for the 49ers that they will really hammer home before they come home and open the season for Levi's Stadium with their home schedule against the Pittsburgh Steelers week three. A lot more about the Steelers in that week three game. Let's keep it going here. Breida and Mostert getting it going on the 49ers' second drive. 12-yard run from Matt Breida right out of the gate. Nice little scramble for Jimmy Garoppolo. Moving well on that knee, which was good to see, picking up a first down. And then Dante Pettis getting involved, getting on the field earlier than he did last week. He still didn't have a big part of the game plan and still didn't have a ton of snaps, but definitely in earlier and played a lot more. And again, part of that is extended drives and an opportunity for Kyle Shanahan to play more players and have a little bit more fun on the offensive side of the ball. But that drive ended in a 39-yard screen pass, touchdown to Raheem Mostert, 14-7 49ers at that point. It was strange. Andy Dalton was 8 of 8 after three drives, yet the Bengals had punted twice in those three drives. So this was weird because the 49ers didn't completely shut down the Bengals the entire game, but even when the Bengals were playing well and connecting on passes and things seemed to be kind of working, the 49ers weren't giving up long drives, which is a great sign. So the 49ers were also stuffing the run. They were getting after the quarterback. And when things were still going well for the offense, it wasn't hurting the 49ers and they weren't getting hit with big plays and long touchdown drives and long scoring drives. And I think at one point, maybe Zach Taylor's offense was bordering on a little too cute, because when it was working, it still was kind of not working. And then there was the bad interception by Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah, just you can't throw it. Talked about it in the open. Three or four defenders in that area. Garoppolo's going to have to cut those big, bad interceptions down. He can't have that once per game. You know, when you have three touchdown passes, it makes the one interception look a lot better. When it was last week, when you don't have those three touchdown passes, it's a little bit more difficult to stomach, especially when the defense is scoring on that interception. But it's still something that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have to figure out. He's got a little bit of a gunslinger mentality there that, you know, which is good and bad. He threw a little bit late on another out route to the right sideline later in the game. Wasn't a nearly intercepted ball or anything to Richie James, but it was a play that he should have thrown earlier, because they should have been able to convert and get a first down on that play because James was open and he just threw it late. And you can't throw it late to the outside, and you can't throw it over the middle when there's, you know, triple coverage on a wide receiver. But the great thing, and this is when you have a good football team, units start to help each other out. A quarterback makes a bad throw, a wide receiver makes a great catch and pulls down the ball. Maybe a running back doesn't get a great read, but the offensive line is blocking it so well, he has no choice but to get yardage. Maybe the offensive line doesn't block well, the running back is so good, he's got vision, he makes a play, and he's able to make a big run, like we saw from Matt Breida on the very next drive. And on this interception from Jimmy Garoppolo, the defense bails out the offense. You throw an interception, the Bengals have great field position. The defense holds them. Bengals miss a field goal. The team is helping themselves out, and mistakes don't get compounded, and you don't snowball. And right now, we haven't seen any snowballing from this 49ers team. They haven't played two great teams, I will say that, but still on the road is not easy to win in the NFL. Loved what I've seen so far from the 49ers, especially this Sunday. Just the most overwhelming, I think, dominant wire-to-wire performance from Kyle Shanahan's San Francisco 49ers in 3 years. The best run of Matt Breida's career happened in this game. Not the longest run, but I think the prettiest, showing off his sweet feet. And it was a run that was not blocked well. It went left. No space was there. Matt Breida comes back to the right side. He gets met at the line of scrimmage and just completely crosses over a guy. Not only just getting across the line, that wasn't enough for Breida. Makes another move, gets into the open field, and it turns it into a 32-yard run. It should have been a negative run. He turns it into a 32-yard run. My favorite run I've seen from Matt Breida's career. And I think for anybody watching the 49ers right now, it's evident. I've talked about it before. It's not surprising at all. Matt Breida is the best running back on the San Francisco 49ers roster. George Kittle, it took him a little while to get involved. He had an 8-yard catch here and would be more involved later in the game. A little bit more of a possession type of a game from George Kittle at tight end. And then Jeff Wilson finished the job. Touchdown plunged. Love his power. Offensive line giving him plenty of space to score his first career touchdown. Wilson was activated the night before the game, and Caden Smith, by the way, was the one that was waived. I think we will see Caden Smith clear waivers and get back to the 49ers practice squad, but I think it was the only move the 49ers could do to bring up Jeff Wilson from the practice squad, and he had a nice game himself, 21-7 49ers at that point. Akella Witherspoon making a nice play, jumping an out route, didn't pick it off, compounds his mistake by kicking the ball out of frustration. That's a dumb move. Come on, Akello. It's a dumb move. You made a good play. You didn't pick it off, but still a good play. I think he was eyeing the end zone. He wanted a second straight pick six in two straight weeks, but a delay of game penalty on that. But good coverage for Witherspoon and a couple of pass breakups early in that game and really just overall played a nice, solid game. I love the development I'm seeing from Akella Witherspoon this year. And it started at the end of last season. John Ross, he had a couple of slants that he took for some big gains, and I think both of them, if you want to point a finger on the 49ers defense, and look, John Ross is fast, and he's not easy to tackle in the open field or anything like that, but Tarvarius Moore, a bad miss in the open field on the first one. The second one came down at a bad angle as well. Tackling right now is a little bit of an issue for Tarvarius Moore, and Ross also has that speed, and if you give him an inch, he can hit that burst, and then he's gone, and Moore didn't even get a hand on him on that play, but Ross, being Ross, follows that up with a big drop, and the Cincinnati Bengals would have to settle for a field goal, 21-10. Love the play design. This is where Kyle Shanahan's like, yep, okay, we've got a lead. That's protected. And let's have some fun. Let's see if we can get some big plays here on some misdirection, some trickeration, as it is sometimes called. Love the play design. Deebo Samuel, 38-yard misdirection throwback. Kyle Shanahan just feeling it. You could tell he was just feeling it on that day. The long drives, the play action, and it all starts with the run game working. You can do so much off of that. And that's textbook Shanahan offense. Another wide receiver screen to Deebo. Niners running the ball, play action, big plays all over the place. And then a 31-yard touchdown run by Raheem Mostert that was called back. Holding penalty on Laken Tomlinson. And I had to note this one because I know somewhere Nick Winkler was cursing number 75 for a holding penalty that called back a touchdown. It was one of my keys to the game. Can't have those. Can't take points off the board. Luckily, didn't really hurt the 49ers in the long run, but big plays getting called back is a big no-no. Here's a big play in the game. Mitch Wishnowsky, the fourth-round punter. Was he worth a fourth-round pick? I don't know. But these are the types of plays you draft a fourth-round punter for. Best punt of the year so far for Wishnowsky. Drops it was a short punt. You know, it was one of those plays where it's like near midfield, do you go for it? 49ers decide to punt. A lot of hang time. Drops a short punt at the two-yard line. DJ Reed just sitting there waiting on it. Basically a fair catch for your own coverage guy on that play. Reed catches it at the two-yard line to down it. And the Bengals backed up deep into their own territory. And then Quan Alexander, who has to get a call out in this podcast. Dude is a maniac. He was everywhere in this game. And then comes up with an interception on that drive, giving the 49ers fantastic field position once again. And Quan Alexander, not just this play, he was everywhere. He is loud. He is vocal. He is fast. And I love the yin and yang with Quan Alexander and Fred Warner. And Warner's that cool, calm, collected guy. And Quan Alexander is just out of his mind, yelling, screaming, high energy. And I think they're a good fit for each other. Maybe Alexander gets Fred Warner a little bit more hyped, gets him up for game day, and then Fred Warner can keep Quan Alexander cool, maybe, and a little bit more under control and smart and just, you know, making his reads and not being out of control, because he is Quan Alexander in two games now. Got kicked out the first game, little scrum with an offensive player on the Bengals here. Borderline reckless at times, so that's one thing to monitor, but definitely active, high energy, which has been really fun to watch. And, you know, I think a good addition so far for the 49ers at linebacker. Then Kyle Shanahan having more fun just before the half. Dante Pettis throwback, which is probably one of the funnest plays that happened in the game. Pettis looking downfield. He wanted to throw it deep, but smart. It wasn't there. He put it in his back pocket. Jimmy Garoppolo can probably take a little bit out of Pettis' playbook as a quarterback. He throws across the field instead to Mostert, who had a little screen going on the opposite side of the field there. Almost a check down on that play. I love that design. And then Mostert picks up the first down, and we're just having fun. Right? 49ers fans at that point were just probably feeling themselves, having a great time, hitting the chips and dip, whatever your favorite beverage is, having fun, hooting and hollering at the screen. And this is what you had in mind when Kyle Shanahan was hired. It took a while, but we're here now. And that drive ends in a Robbie Gould field goal, put the 49ers up 24-10 at the half. Okay, time is getting short here. I do want to give out some game balls. We'll talk a little bit about the second half. A lot of the fourth quarter was just the 49ers running out the clock because this game was so well in hand. And this podcast is brought to you in part by Greg's Tax Service, an honest, straightforward tax company, helping clients with all their tax problems, from unfiled returns, back taxes, offer and compromise, abatement of penalties, audit representation, IRS collection, everything you need. Greg's Tax Service has been in the business for 25 years. Find out more at gregstaxservice.com.
Guys, do you remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, bluechew.com. That's like blue, the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guys who want that extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Most guys talk a good game, but if you're one and done, Blue Chew can even help you follow through for round two. Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visits. No waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made right in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's Blue, BLUECHEW, BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. And we thank them for sponsoring this podcast.
49ers just opening up a can to start the third quarter on the Cincinnati Bengals. The Cincinnati Bengals had zero answers for the 49ers offense. Breida just giving a Michael Jordan-like shrug after his second big run on that drive. Like, this is too easy. You remember the Jordan game when he hit six threes and he's just shrugging as he's walking back down the court. And at one point, Breida gave one of those. He's like, what are we doing here? This is too easy. He's just getting 12 yards on every play. It was nuts. Deebo Samuel, a couple catches on the drive, including his first career touchdown reception. It was a little corner route, a little out/corner. I think he could have taken it in really either angle there to the corner or straight out, but he was just wide open there after he made his break from the slot, the outside receiver on a slant, creating sort of a natural rub there. Easy pitch and catch for Jimmy and Deebo. 31-10 lead for the 49ers. DeForest Buckner getting in the action on the next drive with a sack. A fantastic push from so many defensive linemen in that game. Ronald Blair had a fantastic game. Matt Breida, again, at will, getting outside. He had a 7-yard run that brings down his yards per carry on the day. Goes over 100 yards. Garoppolo, a little late on that out route that I mentioned earlier to Richie James, have to settle for a Robbie Gould field goal. And I have to apologize here. 49ers go up 34-10 after the Gould field goal. And I wrote in my notes, Gould is so automatic, I update the score in my notes before they even line up for the kick. He misses his next field goal attempt. His fifth miss as a 49er. And they showed a graphic on the screen after that miss for Robbie Gould. And the Chicago Bears have missed 18 field goals Since Robbie Gould came to San Francisco, Gould only missing five. So, hey, he gets to miss one every once in a while, especially when the 49ers are up 41-10. By the way, before that miss, Jeff Wilson, his second touchdown of the game, and that was a big boy touchdown, pushing his way into the end zone behind Lake and Tomlinson and Mike McGlinchey that were just moving dudes out of the way so Jeff Wilson could get in there and score his second touchdown of the game. For fantasy football guys, kind of sniping those touchdowns away from Mostert and Matt Breida, although they had fine games and got you some points for your fantasy team in their own right. Let's get to the game balls here. There was one more note in here about the Tarvarius Moore. Bad angle on John Ross. Not able to corral him after the catch. Another slant that Ross took for 66 yards and a touchdown. That was the end of the scoring there. 41-17. 49ers, the final in Cincinnati. Niners improved to 2-0. Let's get to the game balls. I'm going to give my first game ball to Kyle Shanahan. When the run game is working like it was Sunday, that sets up play action. Play action sets up big plays, long drives. Then long drives give Shanahan a chance to go deeper into his playbook. And that's what we saw in Cincinnati. Again, 2-0 the first time since 2012 when the 49ers went to the Super Bowl. First time since 1989, 2-0 on the road to start the season. 49ers won the Super Bowl. Not saying the 49ers are Super Bowl bound this year, but this is a much different team, a much different feeling than the start of the last few seasons. And when you can start a season 2-0 on the road and still have 8 home games in your back pocket starting in week 3, that's huge for the San Francisco 49ers. But I will caution that the schedule gets much more difficult from here. 49ers beat the teams they should have in the first 2 weeks. There are some very difficult games coming up on the schedule. Some games might even be more difficult than we thought preseason. But one game that might be a little bit less difficult than we thought is that Pittsburgh Steelers team that's right now 0-2 coming into San Francisco for the 49ers home opener in week 3. Game ball to Matt Breida, running wild on the Bengals. 121 yards on the ground, averaging over 10 yards per carry on his 12 rushes, a long of 34 yards. Matt Breida, about the only thing negative you could say about his game is he didn't get into the end zone. No touchdowns on the day for Matt Breida. But there's no question he is running back number one for the 49ers. No matter what, when Tevin Coleman comes back, this is Breida's backfield, I think. He didn't get the touchdown, but I'm sure Breida would agree. He got something better. A locked-on 49ers week 2 game ball. And none of that I mentioned before with Kyle Shanahan's play calling and Matt Breida running wild is even possible without the offensive line. The entire offensive line gets a game ball, making all of the above possible, playing like one of, if not the top offensive lines in the league for the first 2 weeks. Breida was 121. The team had 259 yards on the ground, 6.2 yards per carry average. That includes a 6-yarder from Kyle Juszczyk. Debo Samuel had a couple of runs. I liked the way that Kyle Shanahan used Debo Samuel, trying to get his catch and run skills utilized. And on the other side of the ball, when you consider that the Cincinnati Bengals ran the ball 19 times for 25 yards, the 49ers had 10 times more rushing yards than the Cincinnati Bengals. They averaged 1.3 yards on the ground. 49ers averaged 6.2. That's the game right there. So, you know, hat tip to the defensive line and the linebackers and everybody there on the defensive side of the ball. But one person on defense I'm going to give the game ball to, and that's to free agent addition Quan Alexander, playing his first full game as a 49er since he got kicked out early in week 1. Just looking like a great addition in free agency. Still, you know, he's got a high salary, but he's earning it right now. His energy is off the charts. You can feel his presence out there, and you can hear him on the broadcast, both vocally and the impact his collisions make. I mean, it's audible when Quan Alexander is on the field. And then, of course, the big play with the interception. Saw somebody on Twitter, don't remember who it was, say, it seems like there's 3 Quan Alexanders on the field at the same time. And that's exactly what it was like with how active he was, how many plays he was in on in the first half of the game. Quan Alexander gets the 4th and final game ball for week 2. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Locked On 49ers. I love doing these post-win rapid react episodes. They're a lot more fun. We're going to continue breaking down this game later this week and, of course, start looking ahead to week 3, the home opener against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Get those mailbag questions in to me at BD Peacock on Twitter. Talk to you tomorrow right here, Locked On 49ers.